Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, August 9th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Stocks slide as trade tensions resurface involving Huawei.
The UK economy posts its first quarterly contraction since 2012.
Italy's sovereign bonds and stocks tumble as the government coalition teeters.
And Uber shares plunge following a $5 billion loss.
It looks as if there could be movement on gun legislation when the Senate returns. Plus, the president named his choice for interim intel chief. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Yankees won in Toronto, made it 9 wins in a row. Free season football, the Giants beat the Jets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. Equity shares moving lower this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 15 points. Dow futures down 115. NASDAQ futures down 57. DAX in Germany down 0.9%. So is the CAC in Paris. The 10-year up 5/32, yield 1.69%. 2-year treasury 1.60%. West Texas Intermediate crude oil up 0.6%, up 30 cents, $52.84 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.4%, up to $5.70, $15.15.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1204 against the dollar. The yen 105.85. John.
And we begin, Nathan, with the continued trade tensions between the U.S. and China. Some 50 businesses are still waiting for the Commerce Department to sign off on their request to resume doing business with Huawei. And Bloomberg's Amy Morris has the latest from our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
John and Nathan, sources tell Bloomberg News the White House is putting off a decision about licenses allowing U.S. companies to restart business with Huawei. While Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross says the decision on those requests is pending, Beijing says it'll stop buying those agriculture products from the U.S. China stopped those purchases after President Trump threatened a new 10% tariff on $300 billion of Chinese imports and formally labeled China a currency manipulator. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Radio.
Amy, thanks. So what's China's response? We continue our global team coverage with Bloomberg News Bureau Chief Sharon Chen in Beijing.
Nathan and John, so right now there's no official reaction out of Beijing. Faxes to the Ministry of Commerce and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs weren't answered and Huawei declined to comment. But it's not unexpected that this happened. After all, the original idea was that the licenses would be used to push Beijing into making those agricultural purchases that Trump has bragged about. And Beijing's already said that that's not going to happen after Trump threatened to tariff more of its products. So it makes sense that the U.S. is holding back on those licenses until there's more clarity. In Beijing, I'm Sharon Chen, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sharon, thank you. Now, the news involving Huawei helped send stocks in China lower. We get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore.
Good morning, Nathan and John. Sentiment in China was also dented by weak factory floor data, with producer prices falling 0.3% year-on-year in July, the first contraction in 3 years. However, consumer prices rose 2.8% year-on-year, driven by a surge in food prices, particularly pork. Japanese stocks were higher as second quarter GDP was a beat, the Nikkei 225 rising 0.4% to 20,684 points in Tokyo. In Sydney, the ASX 200 was up 0.3%, however, Australia's benchmark shed 2.7% over the last 5 days, posting its worst week since November amid the escalating trade tensions. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. In Europe, Italy's sovereign bonds and stocks are tumbling as the government coalition there is teetering. The Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte is signaling he won't leave office without a fight. His deputy Matteo Salvini is trying to bring down the country's populist coalition and force a snap election.
The UK economy has posted its first quarterly contraction in more than 6 years. Let's go live to London and get the very latest from Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Ewan, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan and John. The worst quarter since 2012. The United Kingdom's GDP shrank 0.2% between April and June. Economists had expected output to be unchanged. In a blow to new Prime Minister Boris Johnson, the economy saw an abrupt loss of momentum after growing 0.5% in the first quarter. Today's data reflected many companies running down inventories built up ahead of the original Brexit deadline in March. Manufacturing, which enjoyed a bumper first quarter, shrank 2.3%. That was its worst performance since 2009. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thanks. Here in the U.S., we get a reading on July inflation this morning. Economists say the producer price index probably rose 0.2% last month. That would be the largest increase in 3 months. Bloomberg's Vinny Deljudice reports.
The strong dollar is keeping a lid on things, but there's evidence U.S. inflation is poised to creep higher. Hershey last month confirmed it's raising wholesale chocolate prices by about 10%. McDonald's, meantime, anticipates protein costs will push global commodity prices higher. U.S. labor costs are also on the rise amid low unemployment and a shortage of qualified workers. Vinny Deljudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. We're also following shares of Uber this morning. They're down nearly 8% in the pre-market following the company's earnings report. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Uber's second quarter adjusted sales fell short of estimates, and it posted a $5.24 billion net loss. Now, most of that was attributed to stock-based compensation associated with the initial public offering. Uber generated $2.87 billion in adjusted revenue for the second quarter, a 12% increase from a year earlier, and below the $3.05 billion that analysts had expected for the quarter. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thanks. Buyer shares up almost 5%. Bloomberg News has learned the company is proposing to pay as much as $8 billion to settle more than 18,000 U.S. lawsuits alleging its Roundup herbicide causes cancer. Buyer shares have fallen more than one-third since its $63 billion acquisition of the weed killer's maker, Monsanto.
And, John, it's official. Broadcom is making a deal that'll add software designed to keep hackers out of corporate systems. The chipmaker is spending $10.7 billion to buy Symantec's division that serves business customers. The agreement comes less than a month after the two companies' talks for a full merger fell apart.
Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures pointing to a lower open. The Dow futures down 120 points. The S&P futures right now down 16 points. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures, they're down 58 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak continues with world and national news in a moment. And it is now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you, sir. It looks as if there could be movement on gun legislation when the Senate returns. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Background checks and red flags would probably lead the discussion, but a lot of other things will come up as well. But what we can't do is fail to pass something.
McConnell says, though, there is no deal to bring senators back early from recess. Ohio Congressman and 2020 Democratic presidential candidate Tim Ryan led a caravan of gun reform activists to a rally in Louisville, Kentucky, McConnell's hometown.
This is not a Republican or Democrat issue. The two bills sitting in the Senate right now have almost 80% of the support of the American people, over 70% of the support from hunters and sportsmen. So this is something that we should easily be able to get done.
Ryan says they're asking McConnell to do his job. Police in Springfield, Missouri say a man wearing fatigues and body armor walked into a local Walmart with 100 rounds of ammunition. He didn't fire off a shot, but he definitely caused a scare. According to authorities, an off-duty firefighter apprehended the man before police arrived. Springfield Police Lieutenant Mike Lucas says the man's goal was to create chaos.
His intent was not to cause peace or comfort to anybody that was in the business here. In fact, he's lucky he's alive still, to be honest.
It comes just days after a mass shooting in El Paso, Texas, that left 22 people dead. President Trump says Joseph McGuire, head of the National Counterterrorism Center, will take over as acting director of national intelligence when Dan Coats leaves the post next week. Hong Kong's airport is bolstering security in anticipation of a three-day sit-in protest at the arrivals hall of its main terminal. Bloomberg's Karen Lee in Hong Kong reports it comes days after dozens of flights were canceled during a citywide strike.
Only departing passengers with tickets or boarding passes and valid travel documents will be allowed to enter the check-in area until Sunday night, and security personnel have been deployed to assist passengers and airport staff. It's the second time in a week that protesters have targeted Hong Kong's transport infrastructure after disruptions to Monday's rush hour commute. In Hong Kong, Karen Lee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Bard. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:10 of Wall Street time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Is John Stashower.
John, it was only a preseason game, but it was Giants fans' first look in game action at Daniel Jones, their quarterback of the future, if not the present. The rookie was impressive.
Jones again with time, corner of the end zone, completes it. Did Fowler get his feet in? Yes, touchdown Giants.
Ball placement. Make a note of it, folks. This kid is putting the ball where only his receiver can get it.
Giant Carl Banks last night on Channel 4. Jones, 5 for 5, 67 yards and that TD. Giants beat the Jets 31-22 on a night that included an hour weather delay. Sam Darnold led the Jets down the field through a TD pass before he took a seat. Eli Manning completed his only pass for 3 yards before Jones replaced him. In a game that did count in the standings, a ninth straight win for the Yankees. 12-6 in Toronto. Gio Urshela, who homered twice on Wednesday in Baltimore, homered twice again, both with the man on. And the other Yankee revelation, Mike Tauchman, also hit another homer. Yanks were up 8-0 early. Domingo Germán improved his record to 15-2. It was announced yesterday the Yankees will play the White Sox next August in Iowa at the 8,000-seat Field of Dreams site. Red Hot Mets had the night off. Big series starting tonight at Citi Field with Washington. Nationals currently the NL wild card leader. Second round, Northern Trust Golf today in Jersey City. Troy Merritt off a 62 leads Dustin Johnson by one shot. Tiger Woods went off early, played half his round before they let the fans in, and Tiger has struggled since the Masters. He shot 75. He's already 13 shots behind. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
Thanks, John. And join us tonight for Bloomberg Business of Sports. He's an investor, entrepreneur, and philanthropist who bought the city tennis tournament in Washington, D.C. We'll speak with private equity mover and shaker Mark Ein. That's tonight at 8 on Bloomberg 1130 and via podcast on iTunes. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And this morning, we're going to get the first of three July inflation reports. We'll preview that with Bloomberg U.S. economist Yelena Shalitova. That's coming up in just a few minutes right here on Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's check the latest headlines now with Ainsley Thompson at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Ainsley.
Good morning, Nathan. Huawei reemerged as a focus of the trade war. Stocks, bonds, and currencies were rattled by the news that the Trump administration put off a decision on allowing businesses to resume ties with the Chinese company. The global slowdown continued. German exports plunged the most in 3 years in June, China's producer prices fell in July, and the UK economy shrank in the second quarter. Italy's 10-year yield jumped as the government teetered on the verge of collapse and an election loomed. The country's deputy prime minister pulled his party support and urged lawmakers to vote out the government. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Nathan.
Ainsley, thank you. Now let's get a check of the markets. We have it for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 15.5 points now. Dow futures down 121. NASDAQ futures down 57 points. The 10-year up 630 seconds. The yield 1.69%. 2-year treasuries 1.59%. West Texas Intermediate up 0.75%, up 40 cents, $52.93 a barrel. COMEX Gold up $5.50 at 15.15 even to the troy ounce. The euro 1.1198 against the dollar. The yen 105.85. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. There's no deal to bring senators back from recess early. That word from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell in response to growing pressure to take action on stalled gun bills. McConnell says when they do return from recess, background checks and red flags will probably lead the discussion. President Trump has picked the head of the National Counterterrorism Center, Joseph McGuire, to take over as acting director of national intelligence. Dan Coats leaves the post next week. In baseball, the Yankees won along with the Red Sox and Giants. In NFL preseason action, the Giants beat the Jets. The winners, the Patriots and Ravens, the Redskins lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thanks. It's 620 on Wall Street. We're live for the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. This morning, 8:30 Wall Street time, the government issues the first of three July inflation reports. She is data-dependent, Bloomberg senior U.S. economist Yelena Shalitova. What are they going to tell us?
Good morning. A little bit more of the same.
Well, you don't sound too excited about this report
this morning.
Modest
increases, the headline driven by energy prices, but on the core front, strong dollar will continue to depress core goods prices, while services prices have not found a consistent upward path. So a little bit more of the same. This has been an issue for quite some time right now. So, when you look at core prices, they have been depressed by the strong dollar. And, if we see the Fed easing a little bit on the way, we can see this little bit of a price pressure coming up from there.
Okay, so king dollar still reigns, and the differentials in rates, that still matters because the U.S. still, even though they're might be in a cutting cycle, is still higher on a relative basis. Next week, what's the data we get? Because that's a little more exciting.
So that will be crucial, actually, I think. So, yes, we do get retail sales and industrial production for July, and perhaps we will see some strong numbers in terms of retail sales. Remember we had this Amazon Prime Day, and that was much bigger than last year in terms of the number of units bought. So we might see solid increases in July. But what will be key next week is to watch sentiment indicators. We're getting the first set of sentiment indicators for August. So this data will follow the Trump tweet about the new set of tariffs. So we will see next week how much of an impact it actually had on optimism.
That's the sentiment on part of the consumers or the businesses?
Both. Okay. So we're going to get both Empire and Philly Fed on Thursday. So that will indicate how businesses are taking the news. And then on Friday, we will get the University of Michigan survey, the preliminary reading for August. So what's interesting is that we already saw some deterioration in consumer sentiment this week when Bloomberg Consumer Confront Index was released. So we saw a drop in the measure, and that followed, the Trump tweet.
So, do consumers and businesses do what they say in those soft data points?
If we see consistent declines, and we did see a consistent weakening in PMI surveys for several months in a row, that could materialize in weaker activity. So that's a concern, especially if we see that in the consumer sector, because the consumer sector is driving economic growth right now, and we have seen solid readings on consumer spending. But, the latest payrolls report showed that personal income growth is weakening. So that is a concern for us more than any, other things like trade tensions, and things like that. But, if the consumer is going to slow down, that's going to be really...
Remind everybody how big a part of the economy...
It's two-thirds of the economy. So,
it's huge.
And in the last several quarters, that was the only driving thing that really supported economic growth, while other sectors such as business investment, exports, and so on really lagged behind.
Can I just look back just a bit with the payroll? Not that one, the payrolls. You mentioned one component of that, but also the jobless claims. The job market still looks real strong.
You know, jobless claims in the middle of the cycle towards the end of the business cycle is not particularly a great indicator, because, you know, companies tend to retain workers, so they're not firing workers. But what could happen, you know, all this uncertainty could actually put a limit on how many new workers they're going to hire. And jobless claims data obviously does not reflect that.
Thank you so very much. Again, 8:30 Wall Street time. The government issuing the first of three July inflation reports. We'll bring that to you live as it happens on Bloomberg Surveillance. Bloomberg senior economist Yelena Shalateva. Thank you very much. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And futures point to a lower open of Wall Street. Blame the trade tensions. Dow futures down 133 points. S&P futures down 17 points. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures down 63. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
I'm John Tucker. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We're seeing stocks lower as we close out this volatile trading week. S&P futures down about 0.5%. Yesterday, the S&P 500 posted its biggest advance in 2 months, erasing its loss for the week.
Now, today's weakness is being blamed once again on U.S.-China trade concerns. Bloomberg News is reporting the White House is holding off on licensing decisions for American companies to restart business with Huawei Technologies. As Bloomberg's Ian King explains, access to the Chinese market is crucial to the fortunes of many tech companies.
The longer this drags on, the worse things get. The theory is the more that the Chinese companies will start to look for alternative suppliers for what they get from the U.S.
And thanks again, inflation in China moved in two different directions during July. Consumer prices rose while factory prices tumbled. More from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Doug Krisner.
Nathan and John, these readings underscore the challenge for the PBOC if it wants to boost policy stimulus. The consumer price index gained 2.8% year over year, largely because of higher food prices, especially pork. However, wholesale inflation declined for the first time in 3 years, driving prices into deflation. This further dimmed the outlook for manufacturers' profits. The index of factory prices fell 0.3% year on year. I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. In Europe, the UK economy shrank for the first time in more than 6 years in the second quarter. Gross domestic product fell 0.2% following a solid 0.5% advance in the previous 3 months.
Italy's sovereign bonds tumbling as the government coalition teeters. The Prime Minister, Giuseppe Conte, signaled he won't leave office without a fight as his deputy, Matteo Salvini, tries to bring down the government and force a snap election.
Shares of Uber are down nearly 9% in the pre-market. The ride-hailing company reported second-quarter adjusted sales that fell short of estimates and posted a net loss of almost $5.25 billion.
And buyer shares up 7%. Bloomberg News has learned the company is proposing to pay as much as $8 billion to settle more than 18,000 U.S. lawsuits alleging its Roundup herbicide causes cancer.
As for the broader market, stocks moving lower this morning. S&P futures down 19 points. Dow futures down 151. NASDAQ futures down almost 66 points. The 10-year up 7/32. The yield 1.69%. 2-year treasuries 1.59% yield. NYMEX crude oil up 1.3%. Up 71 cents. $53.24 a barrel. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Nathan. 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. There could be some movement on gun legislation when the Senate returns from recess. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer say President Donald Trump has assured them that he would look at a gun measure. And now Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says legislation look at expanded background checks and so-called red flag laws to keep firearms out of the hands of dangerous individuals will be at the top of the agenda when senators return from their August break. McConnell has opposed most gun control legislation in the past and says he and the president now have spoken and he's going to go ahead with it. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Just days after the mass shooting at a Walmart in El Paso, police in Missouri say they arrested a man who showed up wearing body armor and was heavily armed at a Walmart in Springfield. Lieutenant Mike Lucas of the Springfield Police says the man carrying a tactical rifle was quickly spotted and detained by an off-duty firefighter until police arrived.
I don't know how many 911 calls we got from inside the building or on the outside, but when SPD arrived here, there were a lot of people hiding outside.
Fortunately, not a shot was fired. Popular gyms Equinox and SoulCycle are still dealing with customer backlash after reports their shared owner is hosting a fundraiser for President Trump. That fundraiser is said to be today in the Hamptons. Both companies responded to calls of boycotts, describing owner Stephen Ross as a passive investor. The companies say they have nothing to do with the event and do not support it. Joseph McGuire, the head of the National Counterterrorism Center, has been named by President Trump to take over as interim director of National Intelligence when Dan Coats leaves next week. Trump's tweet came shortly after he announced that Sue Gordon, the deputy director of National Intelligence, will resign this month along with her boss Coates. Defense Secretary Mark Esper met with his South Korean counterpart today after arriving in South Korea for a two-day trip to Seoul. During their meeting, Esper stressed denuclearization of North Korea.
As President Trump has made clear, the United States is willing to engage diplomatically with North Korea to make progress on all commitments made in the Singapore joint statement to achieve those ends.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stanshower.
John, Yankee surprises on display last night at Toronto. Domingo Herman, another win. Went into the season with a 2-7 Yankee record. He's 15-2. Mike Tauchman, another home run. Came to the Yanks from Colorado, where he spent parts of two seasons batting 153 without any homers. And then there is Gio Urshela.
Pitch is hit in the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Another home run for Gio Urshela. Gio Urshela, the most happy fella. Oh, he's the most happy fella. What he's doing is absolutely amazing.
That's John Sterling, WFAN. Two home runs for the second straight night. Urshela had been a bit player in Cleveland and Toronto. Yanks won their ninth in a row, 12-6. Tauchman and Urshela have combined to drive in almost 100 runs. Mets, winners of 13 of 14, were off. New Met Marcus Stroman on the mound tonight, Citi Field against Washington. At MetLife, the annual Jet Giant preseason game, a couple weeks earlier than usual. Giants won 31-22. The story, their rookie quarterback Daniel Jones came in early for Eli Manning. His one drive, Jones went 5-for-5, 67 yards at a touchdown. The coach is Pat Shurmur.
I mean, there wasn't any incompletions, you know. I mean you got to say it's a pretty good job, you know. He's been checking off the boxes as we went along, and it seems to be surprising the people outside our building. It's not to us.
The question now is not if, but when does Shurmur have Jones supplant Manning as the starting QB? With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
John, thanks a lot. 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Prime Minister Boris Johnson came into office vowing to take the UK out of the EU with or without a withdrawal agreement. Since then, his government has noisily affirmed its openness to a no-deal Brexit. That outcome would, it bears repeating, be a calamity. It could lead to trade disruption, transport bottlenecks, rising prices, consumer shortages, and, in all likelihood, a recession. Partly because Johnson's strategy is so illogical, Britons have been slow to prepare for a potential no-deal exit. For example, of 245,000 British companies that trade exclusively with the EU, just 66,000 have completed the paperwork they'd need after a crash-out. The rest seem to be taking Johnson at his word that the chances are 1,000,000 to 1, making the misadventure even more risky. There's still time to avoid the worst. But one way or another, The contradictions within the Brexit project must be resolved. The costs are only rising. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. It is 6:39 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
It's a question being asked anew in federal court. What part of dangerous does the Trump administration not understand? The pesticide chlorpyrifos continues to be approved for use on all kinds of crops, even though studies have linked exposure to neurological damage and low IQs, especially in young children. Now, six states and a coalition of environmental and labor groups are challenging the EPA's latest decision to keep allowing its use in the face of that mounting scientific proof. New York, California, Washington, Maryland, Vermont, and Massachusetts filed the petition. The nonprofit law group Earth Justice is representing 11 plaintiffs in a separate petition on the same issue. The group says the chemical is far too dangerous to be used on corn, soybeans, broccoli, fruits, nuts, and numerous other crops. The initial maker of the pesticide, Dow AgroSciences, now Corteva AgriScience, voluntarily withdrew the insecticide for household use back in 2000. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Workplace rules mandating confidentiality, restricting your ability to speak with news media, and regulating your social media use are largely failing legal tests. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
New standards for judging these rules have been in place since 2017.
It shifted to a more employer-friendly standard where they would look at the ways that these certain rules would restrict workers' rights and then balance that with an employer's legitimate justification for having that.
Bloomberg Law's Bobby Iafola says so far judges have rejected 3 out of 4 rules reviewed.
They're just generally finding that the ways that these rules restrict workers' ability to band together and improve workplace conditions, that outweighs the employer's legitimate justifications for having them.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Just ahead, check of the markets. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures pointing to a lower open. S&P futures right now down 19 points. That's a decline of 0.7%. Dow futures down 153. The NASDAQ futures down 65.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. This update brought to you by IBKR and CME Group. The new micro e-mini futures contracts are available at IBKR at the lowest commissions. Learn more at IBKR.com/CME Mini. Futures pointed lower. Let's head over to the First Word Breaking News Desk for today's morning call with Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Nathan. Like you said, U.S. futures are under pressure on trade worries again. Dow futures down 139 points, S&P's drop 18, and NASDAQ futures decline by 62. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.69%. Gold is back above 1,500. And European markets are also under pressure, led by 2.4% losses in Italy. And note that German exports plunged the most in 3 years. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, the producer price index. And after the bell last night, Uber posted a $5.2 billion loss and disappointing sales. Shares are down 8% in the pre-market, and Trade Desk boosted 2019 views. In other news, Bayer is willing to pay up to $8 billion to settle more than 18,000 Roundup lawsuits. And wrapping things up, Chemours downgraded to sector perform at RBC, and Kaiser Aluminum upgraded to neutral over at Goldman Sachs. Live from the First Bank and News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Nathan.
All right, Bill, thanks. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says President Trump called him yesterday because he's anxious to get something done on gun reform. The Kentucky senator says he wants to take action on background checks and red flag bills, but won't be calling senators back early. The U.S. State Department is calling on China and is saying it's a thuggish regime for releasing personal information on an American diplomat. who met with opposition protesters in Hong Kong. State Department spokeswoman Morgan Ortegas says that's not how a responsible nation would behave. In baseball, the Yankees won along with the Red Sox and Giants. In NFL preseason action, the Giants beat the Jets. Winners, the Patriots and Ravens, the Redskins lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, if you build it, they will come. Major League Baseball announced the Yankees and the White Sox will play next year at the Field of Dreams site in Dyersville, Iowa, in the latest effort to reinvigorate viewership. The game is set for August 13th, and it will be broadcast on Fox. John, the 1989 movie, of course, Field of Dreams, starred Kevin Costner.
What's there now?
A cornfield.
They've got some work to do.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include a shakeup at the top of U.S. intelligence. President Trump naming Counterintelligence Center Chief Joseph McGuire as Dan Coats' acting replacement as Director of National Intelligence. Former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe suing the Justice Department over his firing last year. And campaigns continuing at the Iowa State Fair, day two on the soapbox for at least five Democratic presidential candidates scheduled to speak today. Also making news, of course, this morning, the trade war with China ramping up and the tools President Trump still has in his arsenal. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Of course, Kate, the issue this morning is a report that the White House is waiting on a decision over to whether to ease tensions with Huawei technologies. But the president himself seems to be focused at the moment on King Dollar.
That's right. And I think that what's very interesting and a very central development this week is essentially indications coming from the White House that that Trump could really try to take some steps to weaken the dollar and try to intervene essentially in U.S. currency policy or the strength of U.S. currency. We know this week that the Trump administration labeled China officially as a currency manipulator. That's something that Trump promised to do during his campaign in 2016 and has shied away from doing up until this point. And so Trump did do that this week. And I think that that has really taken this whole debate over trade and the U.S. Tensions with China to the next level.
Yeah, because the problem with the trade war up to now has been the continuing resilience of the dollar. Can the president and the Treasury do more than just talk it down?
Yeah, there are steps potentially that the Treasury Department could take. There's also pressure that the Trump administration could exert over the Fed to try to weaken the dollar, to take steps to weaken the dollar. So we haven't really gotten an indication from the White House yet of what specifically policy-wise they might attempt to do, but that's something that everyone is going to be watching very, very closely in the coming days.
And obviously the trade tensions that have been resurfacing have led to a heightened volatility in the markets and potential sell-off and raise the risk of recession down the road. There's talk of that once again. Does that translate potentially into political risk as the president gears up for his reelection fight?
It absolutely does. I think that there's no getting around for Trump. The fact that the big X factor for him really is going to be in 2020, the economy. Now, if the economy tanks in late 2020 after the election or early 2021, that won't necessarily impact Trump. Obviously wouldn't impact really his reelection per se. However, you know, with the current steps that he's taking, I think the sense is that it could be a drag on the economy sooner. And that could have dramatic implications for Trump, given that he has tied a lot of his success story, his narrative, to the idea that the economy in his mind is doing better than, you know, and that Americans, therefore, are doing better than they were when he took office. So I think that will be a harder line to sell if the economy takes a dramatic downturn ahead of his reelection.
Of course, the big political debate over this past week, nearly a week now, gun safety, gun restrictions in light of the mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton. And now we're hearing from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell for the first time since then, really.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting, the needle that McConnell is threading here. He's a very adept politician, and I think that while it seems like on its face he might be softening his stance by saying that the Senate will take up a debate over gun control legislation when they return from the August recess, if you dig a little deeper and really read what he's saying, he's essentially promising a discussion, nothing more than that. He's not saying that he personally would back any kind of stronger gun control legislation. He's not even saying that he would bring that legislation to the floor for a vote. All he's really saying is that he recognizes the seriousness of the situation, and therefore he thinks he and the president as well thinks it's important for the Senate to debate the matter. Now, of course, that is a step in the direction that gun control advocates want to see, but it's not really that significant a step on its face. And so I think given what we know about McConnell and the way that he tends to position himself, I think this is a very savvy move on his part because it kind of lets him have it both ways, where he can say that he let the Senate debate the gun control issue and potentially if the measures don't advance that they didn't work their will, that the Senate worked their will and there wasn't the support there. So I think that'll be important to watch, but I think that that I would caution people against making too much out of that at this point.
So then has McConnell ruled out at this point calling the Senate back early, or could he continue to come under pressure on that end?
Well, I would expect he would continue to come under pressure, but he said pretty clearly yesterday that he doesn't have an intention to do that. He did a radio interview with a Louisville station in his home state of Kentucky, and he said pretty clearly that he doesn't have any intention of doing that. And so even though I would expect that drumbeat to continue, I think that is likely off the table for the time being, and that we're likely to see the Senate really take up this issue when they get back from their recess. And again, that kind of behooves McConnell and folks that aren't traditional supporters of gun control legislation because, you know, barring some kind of additional event, it's likely that the sort of public attention will have shifted to something else by the time the Senate returns after Labor Day.
And again, we should note that Michael Bloomberg, the owner of Bloomberg Radio parent Bloomberg LP, founded and helps fund the gun violence prevention nonprofit Every Town for Gun Safety, which advocates for universal background checks. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And as always, follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Paniru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. After the massacre in El Paso, Congressman Joaquin Castro, a Democrat from San Antonio, decided to publicize the names of donors to President Trump from his district. He tweeted that the donors were fueling a campaign of hate against Hispanics. He identified their places of employment or labeled them retirees. A common defense of Castro was that the information was public. But collecting and publicizing the information was obviously designed to expose donors to social and economic pressure from people who agree with Castro about Trump. Millions of well-meaning people support Trump. While they shouldn't be insulated from criticism, they shouldn't be shunned or harassed either. The best thing about Castro's behavior is that he's pretending that he's not adopting these tactics. At this moment in our politics, hypocrisy is the tribute that partisanship pays to what remains of civility. I'm Ramesh Paniru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Friday morning, futures heading lower. S&P futures down 17 points. Dow futures down 136. NASDAQ futures down 61 points. The 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.69%. 2-year Treasury 1.59%. West Texas Intermediate crude oil up 80 cents, $53.35 a barrel. The euro 1.1207 against the dollar. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Paul Sweeney up next with an interview with Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson on the way. For John Tucker, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.